This program is sponsored by Blazing Grace Ministries.
This radio program is PG-13. Parents strongly caution some material may be inappropriate for children under the age of 13. Send me free of the chains holding me.
Is anybody out there hearing me? Send me free.
Jesus' mission was to comfort those who mourn, bind up the brokenhearted, proclaim liberty to captives, and open prison doors for those who are bound. For those who want more than status quo Christianity has to offer, Blazing Grace Radio begins now. And here is your host, Mike Janung.
Hey, Mike Janung here. Welcome back to Blazing Grace Radio, coming to you today from a freezing cold 70-degree day here in Phoenix. And I'm saying that tongue-in-cheek because I know there are other states where 70 degrees sounds wonderful right now, and it's great to be here in the Valley of the Sun. So this month is my four-year anniversary with long COVID, and it's been quite a journey. I've learned a lot from it, and it's been difficult, quite a few moments along the way, but also it's taught me a lot about God's faithfulness and the power of prayer and really learning to lean on Him for everything. And I tried quite a few different treatments along the way. About once a year I end up getting blood work done at a hospital or somewhere, and they always say the same thing: boy, your blood tests look really good. Heart test, EKG, whatever, everything looks really great. We're sorry there's no cure for this. So I've had to go outside of the standard medical establishment to try different treatments. I've tried quite a few things over the last 4 years. Red light therapy, some people said that helped him, didn't do anything for me. I've also done NAD shots. You can look that up. It's a long word. You can Google it. And that does help restore some of the energy back temporarily. I've been seeing a functional doctor lately and also doing vitamin IVs. That can help give me a little boost. And also peptides, thymulin. You can look all that up. So just little things here and there to try and take the edge off. None of this is a cure, but you can't just sit there and lay back in the weeds and curl up and waste your life and die. You know, and then the other thing is that God fills in the gaps of our weakness if we're there to where we will ask Him and trust Him, and He has done that for me so many times, including times when I've come to record these shows. And I felt horrible, and I just started praying, God, You are my strength. You promised You will strengthen me. And He comes through. He gives me what I need. And I also have people praying for me, too. And in James 1, we're told, consider it joy when we encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance, and let endurance have its perfect result, so you may be complete and perfect, lacking in nothing. So suffering, we have to choose joy, consider it joy. That's on us. It's not that God's going to all of a sudden, boom, hit us with joy when we're going through hard times or pain or suffering or relationship problems or whatever it is. We have to go to God and say, Lord, I choose to trust You in this situation. I choose You. I choose joy. This doesn't mean we walk around with a giddy, goofy, shallow smile on our face, pretending everything is okay. That's not what it's saying. It's saying, in spite of difficult circumstances, God, I choose You. I choose to trust You. This is not surprising You in the least. 1 Peter 4:1-2, since Christ suffered in the flesh, arm yourselves, Christian, I'm throwing that one in, with the same way of thinking. whoever has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, so as to live for the rest of the time in the flesh no longer, and some translations say to live in the lustful passions of the flesh no longer, but for the will of God. So suffering has a cleansing effect that every believer need. And I'm not going to pray for suffering, but if God sends it my way, then we have two choices. I can either like collapse, get mad, get bitter, get frustrated, depressed, discouraged, feel hopeless, fall into one of those holes, or I can say, God, I choose to trust you. What do you want to teach me through this situation? I want to learn what you want to teach me. And he has something for us in every single situation. And one of the things I've been learning recently is that I can choose joy. It doesn't mean I'm going to have this great burst of deep-seated joy. And sometimes that does happen. But I'm really choosing God and for him to use long COVID. And if you're not familiar with the symptoms, that includes brain fog, at times difficulty breathing. You can probably even hear it through my voice. And this all goes in waves. So there are some days my normal baseline can be not so bad. And there's some days, like yesterday, I was like, oh my gosh, this is rough. And then there's the brain fog and learning to pray through that and to think with clarity and fatigue. So if we work out, we pay a price, the next day or two, we can suffer what they call post-exertion malaise, where basically you crash. And it's just like so draining, and you just feel like you want to like sleep. But you know what? We're given one life to live. I don't want to waste it. I don't want to sit there on the sidelines just because of this. I mean, I know that there are some people who get hit with this stuff so hard they have to quit their job. So some of you, or many of you, have probably heard about what happened with Philip Yancey. About a couple weeks ago, he came out publicly and he confessed to an 8-year affair. He's been married, I don't remember how many decades, maybe 50 years, I don't remember the exact number, but he came out publicly and confessed to an 8-year affair with another woman and committing adultery. And when you think about 8 years, that's a lot of lying and hiding. And I've been in that lying and hiding place because I've had in my younger years, in my 20s, I had an affair with a married mother of 3 children. And I know the trauma and the horror and how draining it is to have to fake it around I wasn't married at the time, but having to fake it. This was a good friend of mine who I was having an affair with, his wife. And when he found out, he threatened me with a gun. And, I mean, that stuff is very traumatic. It's very draining, and you have to be hypervigilant. And so for Phil to do that for 8 years, that would have just worn him down. And he's 76 years old, and he came out and said, I quit ministry now, to his credit. He didn't try to defend it. When I saw that, it just grieved me, but then I thought, you know, this is just one in a long line of Christian leaders who are falling. And whenever somebody like this falls, whether it's a Robert Morris or a Tate, the guy who is the singer of the Newsboys, or a pastor, or whoever it is, the Christian online community goes gaga. And there's all sorts of angles. So with Yancey, I saw articles, some condemning him, some attacking him, others focusing on grace and forgiveness. But you know what I usually do not see in these articles when a leader falls is the intense spiritual battle that every single true follower of Christ is under. You don't hear much about spiritual warfare in this context. And we have an enemy who comes to steal, kill, and destroy. How can you leave this out? And it's almost like we're secular Christians because, horrors, we don't want to talk about demons. And it's even that way sometimes in church. where everything gets left at the horizontal or the secular level, I'm going to call it. And yes, Yancey gave in to his flesh. And yes, that was sin. But also, do you not realize that there is an enemy that wants to play and manipulate every believer into thinking, hey, this sin, porn, lust, affair, whatever it is, this is going to be the answer for you and to make you feel good. And then what happens is they bite into that, fall to temptation, fall into a hole, fall into a pit, and then later when the leader comes out or is discovered or exposed or whatever it is, then the enemy uses that again to spray the people in the sphere of influence of that person and to spread his lies that, see, this Christian thing isn't real. There really isn't people living all out for God. And look at what happened to them. And then get people – it is traumatic when there's somebody you know and they take a hit like that and they go down. It's horrible. It's grieving. And some people are so quick to just pull out their judgment gun and just start blasting. And if you haven't been in those shoes – why don't you just sit back and pray for the person, because they're going to be going through hell, and but by the grace of God go I. So we all have to be very careful with our attitudes and our mouth with what we say when somebody falls. It's grieving and it's traumatic. And Yancey had a platform that reached millions of people. I think I read where he published or he's sold 15 million books. So he had a global reach with his material, and he was a writer's writer. I do remember reading one or two of his books. I don't remember seeing much about spiritual warfare in there, but, again, this is part of where we are as the secular church that doesn't talk about the intense spiritual battle. And I saw another statistic that said that 1 out of 10 leaders, pastors, leaders in a parachurch ministry or whatever it is, will still be in ministry at the age of 65. And when I saw that, I had a hard time buying into that. That means I have a 10% chance of making it to 65, according to that number. And I'm very aware of the spiritual battle. I get tempted all the time, just like everybody else. Sometimes people think that, they're in ministry and, they got it all together because they're in ministry, and they don't realize what they're really saying is these people don't have flesh. They're walking on water. Heck no. Heck no. You're making a big mistake if you think that somebody, because they're a pastor in ministry, doesn't have weaknesses, doesn't have flaws, doesn't have struggles with temptation or sin, just like everyone else. So we have to be very careful. What we do is we put these people up on a pedestal, and the higher the pedestal, the longer the fall and the bigger the smash when they hit the pavement. No one is above the enemy coming against him. And when Jesus went alone 40 days in the wilderness at the beginning of his ministry, Satan himself was right in his face with some really cunning temptation. And Jesus shut him all down and sent him away. So we are very foolish to think, and if you're a spiritual leader and you're in some kind of ministry position, you are a fool if you think you're above a fall. You've already got one foot on the banana peel. So right now, these days, we have to be very careful with how we walk. And rest is very important. And I think I mentioned long COVID at the beginning. I think suffering is a good thing if you're in ministry. I thank God from time to time, not every day, not every week, and probably not even every month, but I do thank him for the struggles with long COVID. It does keep me on my knees. And sometimes it's like, oh man, I just feel really weak. And then God comes in, and I think that's really the blessing, is when I'm drained. I want his power, and it's a good thing. When you're just floating through and cruising through life, and maybe things aren't really too bad, what happens is we tend to live life in the power of the flesh, and you do not want that. And so many people don't realize they're living the life in the flesh. They think, well, maybe God is really blessing me, but that's true, but the times of blessing can be more dangerous than the hard times, because we can just go into cruise control. You know, I can just spend an hour or 2 hours on social media or whatever it is, and I can spend, like the average American does, more than 2,000 hours a year in entertainment. And, my prayer life, 5 minutes a day is good enough for me. And, well, my church doesn't have prayer meetings, so... But I'm still good, and you're really a dead man walking. You just haven't hit the wall yet. And so, speaking of rest, Luke 5:16 says Jesus himself would often slip away in the wilderness and pray. So going away alone to binge on God, binge on his presence, rest in his presence, is supposed to be, as our Lord modeled for us, the part of the Christian life. And I had, in the last 6 months or the second half of last year in 2025, we sold our house, we went through four different moves. I went to Europe for a month-long trip, came home, Elijah crashed, which is a way of saying my emotional energy level bottomed out after pouring out for a month. And there were other stress points, and then the holidays came, and the holidays have their own particular brand of stress. And yeah, I know the holidays is about the birth of Christ, but there's so many other things that can just like, oh my gosh, I'm supposed to go buy presents for this person or blah, 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 and sometimes you can find yourself, I find myself often like, I'm glad the holidays are over. Now I can get back to life. So by the time the end of December came around, I was just worn out. I was fried. And the thing I did realize was that God carried me through all that time. Because with long COVID, if I push it too hard, I can crash for several days. So God carried me, but by the time early January came around, I was just torched. So I went alone to an Airbnb up in the mountains. The elevation was 8,400 feet, and it was such a wonderful time. And the first night, I was just sitting there, I was so wiped out. And what happens is when we stop and rest in silence, that's when we begin to feel what we really are inside. That's when our heart starts to bubble up. And that's part of the price we pay for going and never stopping and never resting, is we don't realize how fried we really are. And so Psalm 62:8, trust in him at all times, O people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. So I did a debrief with God of where I'd been the last 6 months. It was like a big unload, just releasing everything off my heart. And cast your burden on the Lord, and he will sustain you. He will never permit the righteous to be moved. And I was praying, God, I release everything to you, everything, everyone, every situation to you. And it was like my heart had a big burden drop after that. And then... it was a three-night trip. And then the next day, God was just kept pouring it on with grace and love and his presence and bringing me to verses. And so I'll read a couple of them to you. Gracious is the Lord and righteous. Yes, our God is compassionate. Psalm 116:5. Return to your rest, O my soul, for the Lord has dealt bountifully with you. Psalm 116:7, that really hit home for me. It's like God was saying, I've been with you. You've not been on your own. I've blessed you and carried you through this time. Psalm 117, 2, for his loving kindness is great toward us. And as he brought me to these verses, it was just really like I was enveloped in his presence. Not like, I was enveloped in his presence. I was experiencing the presence of the living God and his kindness, his compassion, his care. Psalm 118, 27, the Lord is light, and he has given us light. And as he's walking me through these things, it was just wow. Sometimes, just speechless. And to encounter the creator of the universe like that and to be filled with his presence, I mean, I know for me that's what I love, I yearn for, but my friends, going to church is commanded, and I love church, I love the worship in the right context, and, feeding on the message that God might have, but the time alone with him, there's just nothing like it, because there is no distraction. When we're at church, what are we focused on? We're focused on the platform. Who's on the platform? Who's speaking? The worship band? What they're doing? But when you're alone with God in silence, you got to face two people. You got to lock your attention on the Lord, and there's no distractions in silence. So it's a great time to do that. But you also got to face yourself. And I think a lot of us run from that because we don't want to feel. We don't want to know what's really going on down there in the depths of our soul. We don't want to feel the exhaustion or that pride or the sin or the emptiness because we've been running it for so long and so hard, or what's really down there, down in the cellar. But this is where we give God an opportunity to come in and touch and to heal and to restore. And I love Psalm 119. I pray that quite a bit. God, revive me according to your loving kindness. Revive me according to your word. He's inviting us to pray that, but he's also inviting us to come away. And so let me ask each and every one of you who claim to be a Christ follower, when is the last time you went away for 1, 2, 3 days alone with God? Have you ever done that? And it is so wonderful. It's just I didn't want to go home. And then as he led me into Philippians 3:20, reminding me that for our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And as I turned that verse over in my mind, and that my citizenship is, I'm a citizen of heaven. I'm God's son. My name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And as I turned that over, this vivid picture came to my spirit and to my emotions, and it was a vivid picture of heaven. Bright and glorious and light, and I couldn't see particular faces, but there was a sensation of a lot of people there, and they were rejoicing. I couldn't see God, but it was just a lot of bright and a lot of light and a lot of glory. And aren't we hungry and thirsty for this? When you go to church, aren't you really hungry and thirsty for a God encounter? And if you want that God encounter at full force, I cannot challenge and encourage you enough to take the time to go away with him. There are so many people who just barely touch all that he has for you because you will not stop long enough for a couple of days. And Mark 6:31, and he said to them, "Come away by yourselves to a desolate place and rest a while." This invitation is for you, every one of you who are a believer. And I know there are a lot of you listening to this, and you're just wiped out, burnt out, sick of everything. Maybe even you're just tired of going to church. Because you need more. You need the touch from the Lord in your heart and your spirit. Come away with him. Don't run yourself into the ground. These are dangerous times. So, my friends, thank you for joining me, and we'll see you next time. Do you want to be free?
Blazing Grace is a nonprofit international ministry for the sexually broken and the spouse. Please visit us at blazinggrace.org for information on Mike Janung's books, groups, counseling, or to have Mike speak at your organization. You can email us at email@blazinggrace.org or call our office in Chandler, Arizona at 719-888-5144. Again, visit us at blazinggrace.org. Email us at email@blazinggrace.org or call the office at 719-888-5144.
This program was sponsored by Blazing Grace Ministries.